So let me check the time. And we all know when a pastor checks his time or a preacher, it means nothing. But I'll be checking the time. So I wanted to say a few things about family. We had a dedication moment, parents saying, I want to bring up my children the ways of the Lord, and praying a prayer of blessing over their lives. So I'm going to read one or two scriptures about family and say a few things about family, and then we'll be done for today. So 10, 15 minutes, and we'll be through. So Proverbs 24 reads like this. Verses 1 to 9, it says, be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their hearts devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. And it's this verse which is the kind of key verse for me for today. It says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate he does not open his mouth. And then it goes back to talking about evil again. Whoever plans to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of folly is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to mankind. It's like this. It's almost like a quick portion of poetry within the Proverbs. Of course, they are Proverbs, but it's the saying about building a house, and it's got these two bookmark ends talking about not giving yourself to evil, but rather to wisdom, which is the thing which builds a house. And by understanding, it is established. So I was looking at my bookshelf over the weekend and finding a number of books relating to family and things. I've got a whole lot of books on family, and you'd be surprised how many books there are on family, both Christian and secular. And it's just the titles that I really wanted to show you, you know, or get you to. So this one is from the Proverbs, and it's called Signposts from the Proverbs. And there's a wonderful chapter in here where they've just highlighted all the Proverbs that talk about family. And this is one of them. Yeah, I'm not going to go and read them all, but there are an amazing array of Proverbs which speak about family. And I'm going to read one or two of those other Proverbs. This is the best book I've read on parenting. It's called Shepherding a Child's Heart. All right? And we're going to continue with this theme next week on family. And in, you know, we were dealing with Joseph, but we're taking a pause from that. We'll come back to his life. And then perhaps in the month of May, we're going to go back to just exposition through a book of Scripture. For today and for next week, we're looking at family because, or inspired by this moment of parental dedication. So shepherding a child's heart. Parents, you want to shepherd your child's heart in the ways of the Lord. This is a beautiful title of a book. It's very anecdotal and based on a lot of the author's life experience, but the title is so good. It's There's No Place Like Home. There's No Place Like Home. And one of the wonders of Christian family is this, or the idea of family just generally, is that when God created the earth, the basic unit which he begins with, working with, is family. For this reason, Genesis chapter 2, for this reason, a man will leave his father's house and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And that's God's plan. That's God's idea. God's idea is that a man, there's gender involved, will leave his father's house and cleave to his wife. There's gender involved. That's God's plan. I want to tell you there are a lot of things mitigating against God's good plan and purpose in the world today. And what we need to do is be upholding Christian values and God's plan and building it. Amen. I'm glad we're all on the same page there. So there's no place like home, it says there. I've got lots of things, the Christian family, particular famous one, they reckon, and that's a very old book that sold a million copies back then. I pulled this one off the shelf just because I found it quite humorous as well. Sleep, it does a family good. So the whole book is about sleep. And, you know, there are a lot of things that are stealing people's sleep. Eh? Worry, stress. a passion for getting through a Netflix series, whatever it is. There are a lot of things that are stealing sleep. So he has 217 pages on sleep. I started reading it once and then I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes which says, of the making of many books, you know, and much study wearies the body. And I thought, well, yeah, someone who's made a whole book on sleep. Maybe he's weary, he needs a nap, you know. But sleep is incredibly important. And if you don't sleep, how will you have time for dreaming? And if you don't dream? Well, Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4 says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. I'm going to say a few things about wisdom is and what it isn't, but before we get there, Proverbs 14, verse 1 gives you the kind of opposite of that thing. It says, the wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. The way the NIV translates it. But with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. So wisdom enables you to build a house, but if you live without true wisdom and you live in foolishness, you actually tear down your house. You break it down. We want to be a people who live, obviously, in the Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4, not in the Proverbs 14, verse 1. We want to build our houses, not tear them down. And so I want to say two very important things before I go any further today. Because you can be sitting in the audience and think Proverbs 14, with my own hands, I actually have caused relational tension and broken things in my family or in my household. You can feel like by my actions, I've done some things which have pushed my own family members away. Well, I want to say two things in that regard. I want to say the other thing is that you could be saying, I was orphaned, and where's my family? How does that work for me? I don't have that family unit that you have, Andrew, or that you came from, Andrew. Well, the Bible says that God puts the lonely in families. It says that in Psalm 68. He places the lonely in families. Let me read to you. Psalm 68. Father of the fatherless, he's our father, okay? And protector of widows, those who no longer have a husband at their side, is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary or the lonely in a home. And he leads out the prisoners to prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a parched land. No good being rebellious. Don't rebel against God's good purposes for your life. Flow with God and his word. It's a much better place to be. There you'll find prosperity. There you'll find a home. There you'll find you're living in the habitation of God, his holy habitation. So the first co-elder at Church on Main, the first person who got ordained as another elder to work with me here, his testimony is this, that he grew up in a home which was less than perfect, which was shattered on many fronts, and he decided he didn't want to stay anywhere near his family. So he was going to go to Europe and try and find himself. That was his plan. And when he arrived in London, somehow graciously, by God's providence, a Christian family took him in and said, no, you stay with us. And his testimony is that how he heard the gospel was around their kitchen table. He saw the love. He saw the correction. He saw the working together of a Christian home. And he saw the purity and the joy of it. And also the forgiveness in action. And that is how he came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's what convinced him that the gospel is true. When he saw a Christian family in motion. It's a powerful thing. And what we want in this church is formidable families for the King. That will accomplish God's good purposes. And I want to say, if the devil is attacking anything, he wants to break marriages, because that's what God began with in the beginning. He's trying to undermine and destroy there. And he's trying to undermine and destroy relationships in families. He tries to break the authority structure of churches, because this is Christian family. And this is where the solitary find a home. This is where the lonely get placed in a family. He tries to break what we're trying to do. And he tries to break what happens in family units as well, because those are God's building blocks. Family and local church. Lord, we ask for your favor upon us as a church. We pray you put your hedge of protection around us, Lord God, over the marriages in this church, over the children being brought up in the homes in this church, and over this church, Lord God. May it be a place where the lonely get placed in family, find a home. So we need to be aware that the enemy is out to distract and destroy those things which God has blessed. You can say sometimes, maybe the Lord gives you a dream that you're going to start a business or have a house, and you know it's God. Then you can pray along the lines that, Lord, you've said, because you gave me this dream, that I will start this business, and you are going to find a way to find the capital because you're going to help me, Lord, because the Lord speaks to you, like he spoke to Joseph. So that's a prayer which would be unique maybe to you because the Lord speaks to you. But from the beginning, he's destined it that a man will leave his father and cleave to his wife, and they will become a family unit. You can pray. You don't need a dream to know that God wants to bless your family. You can pray for your family because the scripture speaks about it. Are you with what I'm trying to say there? There are a lot of things we pray for because we wish them into being. We want them to be true. We have a dream we think of about them. And sometimes it is God's will, sometimes it's not. Maybe he has spoken, maybe he hasn't spoken sometimes. But there are things which he's already written in scripture which are his will for us. Go and claim them. He has blessed the idea of family. He has blessed the idea of local churches, family. And you can pray for those things with absolute confidence that God will answer because his word is clear on it. So that's where we want to be with regard to that. And I just wanted to earth it with regard to prayer. 1 Timothy 3 verse 14 and 15 says this, I hope to come to you soon. It's Paul writing to Timothy. He's in Ephesus. But I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. By wisdom the house is built, and by understanding. The household of God, and then he goes on to say what the household of God is, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and buttress of truth. If we want truth, we need to build the household of God. This is family. So you've got two family units which need to be established. You've got the nuclear family, husband and wife and children, and they can also include others into there, or adopting extended family, parents coming to stay with, and they become that family unit. And then there's local church, which is the family or household of God. These are the two family structures we need to be praying for and trusting God to establish. So Ephesians 2 verse 19 says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God. Brilliant word, that household thing. In the book of Proverbs, that word household, or by wisdom a house is built, sometimes the word house becomes a metaphor for your own life, all right, you as an individual. And sometimes it actually takes, it's speaking just straightforwardly about the household. And God wants to redeem and restore what has been lost, stolen, or broken. So I said, I'm going to give you two sort of qualifying things as I talk about family. One is that God puts the lonely in families. You say, well, I don't come from that family which you're talking about. I would love to have been in one of those families. Well, you do now. The household of God is where you get placed. The household of God is where you get placed. And you have mothers and fathers and grandparents and the whole spectrum in the household of God. And then the second thing I wanted to say is, because you might be sitting there saying, oh yeah, you talk about that, and I see families which I admire, and I'd love to be like that, and I'd love to have the stories of sitting around the table and playing board games late into the night as a family, and wonderful holiday moments that I hear sometimes from the pulpit or read about, and that's not my experience, Tom. I've never had that. Or You've been part of a circumstance where even by your own actions, you've helped break the family you should have had. The enemy wants to get people caught on alcohol addiction, drugs, bad habits of anger and destruction in the home, and lack of ability for conflict resolution and communication and love and care and warmth and joy and forgiveness and all healing and all the things that that family and home should be. The enemy is trying to take us another direction. Well, I want to say that we serve a God who redeems and restores. We serve a God who redeems and restores. Now, I'd love to take this theme and run with it for a few weeks, because the redemption of God is so complete, so full. But let me just read you one or two texts. In Malachi 4, it says, look, the days, or I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. God's heart is to bring restoration in family. God's heart is to bring restoration in family. As you're sitting there right now, probably a fairly high percentage of you have in your minds some person, some circumstance that you would like to be restored. Don't let your life reach its conclusion and its end without having done something about that. An uncle, an aunt, a grandparent. Don't wait until it's too late. Do something. Start in prayer. Start with a scripture or two saying, God, what have you said about family? What have you said about love? What have you said about warmth? What have you said about forgiveness? What have you said? And you go and read those texts and you write them out, or you type them out, or you read them to yourself so that you can hear it and you pray it. Because God's heart is for restoration. I saw a wonderful text on a men's prayer group this week. One of the men in the church saying he's been trusting that his son would, that there'd be some reconciliation. His son phoned him for the first time this week. After many, I forget how long it's. God is in the process of restoring. God is in the process of restoring. You say, yeah, but you don't know what the breakdown is in our family. I don't want to know. What I want to know is this right now. There may be another moment where you can tell me, but what I want to know right now is this. We serve a God who restores. We serve a God who redeems. We serve a God who reestablishes. He builds. He touches. Restoration is such a massive theme in Scripture. Revelation 21 verse 5 says, and he who was seated on the throne said, look, I'm making all things new. I'm making all things new. In the end, there's going to be a complete and utter restoration. But for us as saints, there are many, many promises in Scripture of restoration. That which the locusts have stolen. Isn't there scripture like that? Go and find it. In Jeremiah 30, thus says the Lord, look, I will restore the fortunes of the tents of Jacob. That's where they dwelt. That's where their families were. And have compassion on his dwellings. The city shall be rebuilt on its mound, and the palace shall stand where it used to be. That's just one text. There are many, many texts about restoration. Their children shall be as they were of old. He's going to restore what was. So many places in Scripture it speaks of restoration. What about Job's life? God restores in the end his fortunes, his children, his... The Lord restored the fortunes of Job, it says in Job 42. I won't carry on reading, but wonderful things are spoken of the restoration in Job's life. And I'm not here to try and explain all of Job right now. I'm just saying there's a great restoration at the end. So he puts the lonely in families, and he's a God who restores. Because as we start to talk about family, some people dial out. They dial out because they say, oh, I'm not part of one of those families. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're part of the household of God. And he's placed you in family. And you might say, oh, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know what the breakdown's like. We serve a God who restores. We serve a God who builds. We serve a God who forgives. He said, oh, but you know, the brokenness in our home, Thomas, is a brokenness that... So just last week, we heard the message. He was in a grave and then he came out. Tell me he can't restore. He was in a grave and he came out. Tell me he can't restore. Sorry, what was that? In the back row, you think he can't restore? Let me tell you, he was in a grave and he came out. He was in a grave and he came out. Yeah. By wisdom, a house is built. So maybe we'll just pick up again next week on this wisdom thing and house and how houses are built, because it'd be nice to go into another whole section on that. But I want to say God can restore and he will restore. But you do need to work with him a bit. You do need to work with him a bit. You need to allow him. If there are hard places, if there's unforgiveness, if there's a sense of, no, but that person must pay. They must pay. They the ones at fault. I want to ask you to say, Lord, please soften my heart and help me. I want to ask you. We serve a God who restores. Say, no, but I've been praying for a long time, Thomas. Pray once more. Pray once more. Go down on your knees again and say, Lord, Lord, see the need in my home. See the need in my relationship with my sister, aunt, cousin, daughter, child. And ask him. Ask him one more time. Trust him. Trust him for what he said. He is the God who will restore hearts of children to their parents, sons to fathers. Well, I think I must leave it there then, and we'll talk a little bit more. We'll pick up on this theme again next week. All right? Just as we head towards another section or series where we'll go through a book of the Bible, but let's look at family. We'll linger here for 1 or 2 weeks. So let's stand. It's stand. I've said enough. And maybe the wonderful musical team who've been helping us with worship can come up. We're going to go to a song of worship now. Wonderful to see parents coming forward and saying, I want to bring up my child in the ways of the Lord. We ask for God's help and blessing upon you and richest favor to enable you. Wonderful to see people being obedient to go through the waters of baptism. Maybe you out there and you're saying, oh, look, I didn't want to come up for the baptism because I haven't yet put my trust in Jesus. I've not yet crossed the line of faith. Well, then I want to urge you to cross the line of faith. Get another believer and say, I want to do this, or get a believer and say, I want to become a believer. I want to put my trust in Jesus. I want to pray a prayer asking for forgiveness, so that I can become a follower of Jesus. What will happen in that moment is you'll get born again. Your spirit will be changed. What is dead inside will suddenly come alive. The scriptures will be like life to you. God's presence will be with you. You'll find your prayer life will come alive. When you worship, it'll have meaning. All sorts of things will change in that instant. I encourage you to do it. It'll be the greatest thing of your whole life. The greatest moment in your whole life. If that's you out there today, you put your trust in Jesus, you have the King of Kings walking alongside you. Let's worship the Lord.